Welcome to the Aftershock Central Podcast with Ronnie, Travis, and me. What's up, gents?
What's up?
Yo, yo.
We have a plethora of things to talk about. Ronnie, do we have any news before we continue?
We do have a new, we have a news.
We have a news.
We have a new.
We have a blah, blah, blah. Easy for me to say. Phil Hester has a new book coming out.
Yeah, he does. Stronghold.
And Ryan Kelly on the art, right?
Yep. Looks good,
dude. From Cry Havoc and Wicked and Divine fame.
Yep. Which, yes. I'm not a big fan of those books, but that has nothing to do with the art.
Yeah. go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're the news guy.
No, that's the only piece of the news. And any Phil Hester that I can get, I'm in.
Me too. And I reached out to Phil because I missed out on the shipwreck cover because he gave it to his daughter. So, well, and you remember, we went to his booth, was it 2 years ago at C2E2?
Yep.
And I was getting ready to buy one of the covers. I can't remember which one it was. I think it should like two or three. And then for some reason, I never went back there. I think maybe too many beers at C2E2. I don't know.
That's a strong possibility.
But I ended up not buying it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make sure I get something. So I reached out and I said, Phil, are you doing a cover for this? Because I saw the covers and they're nice. In fact, I like the A cover better than the variant. But he's like, not for sure. There may be a variant cover that I'm doing for a retailer, but not sure yet. If it happens, I'll let you know. So, whoever the retailer is, make it happen so I can buy that. Because he's not doing the art for the book, and you know, I love me some Phil Hester art.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You start up an Aftershock Central database. And then get a bunch of dudes to like chip in a couple $1,000s, print up a cover, and then you can buy the original art.
I wish.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Or you could just pay for a commission.
True. It'd be cheaper.
Yeah.
Much cheaper. All right. That's the news. We have three books to discuss, gentlemen. Three books. Three really good books.
Yeah, it is.
So, Ronnie. Travis picked last week, so you can get first pick this week.
I am going Moth and Whisper.
Somehow I knew you would pick that. How did I know that?
I don't know.
Moth and Whisper, number three, written by Ted Anderson, art by Jen Hickman, letters by Marshall Dillon. And let's talk about that.
Yeah. So our thing has been, since issue one, is does it really matter if Nikki is a boy or a girl?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And in this issue, it gets revealed our biggest question from issue one is, what the hell does genderqueer mean? Really?
Yeah.
And it means that it doesn't matter because they can associate with a boy, with a girl, both, or none.
Correct.
And so it's awesome because it doesn't matter in the story. It does not matter if it's a male, female, both, neither, whatever.
All right.
Because they have to play both sides.
Absolutely. So because of that, let me ask you, did it really matter that it was revealed that he's gender fluid?
No, not at all.
So that was the thing that took me aback when I was reading this issue, because I love this book. I think this book is brilliant. But I was reading it, and then we get to that scene between Nikki and the other mobster guy. And, yep. And he's like, are you a boy or girl? And she's like, well, I'm neither. I'm gender fluid or whatever. And I was like, and the guy's like, oh, okay. And then the thing continues, right? So my initial thought was like, why is that even in the book? Like, who cares?
Okay. Let me jump on that.
Go ahead.
My initial reaction to that maybe would be that in a way, you know, a decent amount of, I think, the thematic stuff that's going on in this book has to do with identity.
Yeah.
You know, And obviously they're coming at it from kind of the nuts and bolts of, like, you know, whatever, social media or, you know, like identity theft, you know, basically commoditizing your identity, like all the, like, big online, companies do. So that's my guess is, you know, like, gender is a part of identity, you know, and, you know, she herself is kind of a anonymous character. Like, the government has never seen her on a camera or whatever, that has never seen them on a camera. You know, so I think that it's possible that those things are connected conceptually.
Which I understand that. And when I say who cares, I don't mean to say, like, I don't really care. I just felt like it detracted from the flow of the story for me, because I already knew it was a gender fluid character, right? Like, it was built that way when the book was solicited. So I don't really need to see it in the story. I already know that's the case, right? And so I don't know if it's, like, a reaction to people asking, like, well, is it a boy or a girl? Because for me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But I don't know. To me, it was done in a quick in and out type of way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a big promotional draw out type thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like Alters was, right? We knew
yeah.
that was a transgender character, but it wasn't, like, overblown and whatever.
Well, and I hope that this means that we'll get the rest of the book will be like Alters, right? Where we know that this is a fact and it plays kind of part into the story. But, I mean, ultimately, it's somewhat irrelevant. Like, it's, I understand that, like, it's probably good for marketing, for example, right? Because there's definitely people, like, transgender people are not well represented in comics. Aside from, like, Max Azaggio books, right? Like, when do you see a transgender or a gender fluid or gender queer or whatever other terms are out, character in comics? You don't see that very much. And so for that, I appreciate the fact that it's doing that.
Right.
But for myself personally, where I don't care if, like, it's a male character, a female character, or a black character, a white character, Latino, or whatever else. Like, I just want good characters, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And Nikki's a fantastic character.
Yeah, exactly.
So for me, it took away a little bit from the story, but I understand why it was done, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would say that, like, you know, I'm curious if they're gonna, you know, if they spent that space on it or whatever, you want to justify that by, like, there was a point to take, you know, whatever panels we devoted to that. So, you know, maybe we'll see more of that. They actually deliver on why they made that choice.
Well, I also,
besides from just a pure representational thing.
Yeah, sure.
I also took it as part of his character too, of asking curiosity, like, what's your name? I don't know nothing about you. You know, type of thing. I know everything about all the other stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know anything about you, and I'm working with you, type of thing.
Yeah, no, so I got, just, yeah.
I mean, it didn't have to be a super obese female strong lead that we have to have 8 pages about, but you know.
Keep taking jabs at that poor company.
Yeah, so do you guys think that they are teasing a romance between those two characters?
They who? Pronouns, pal.
The plural they or the singular they?
The
company? Yeah, like,
the creators and the people who made the comic.
No, I don't think so. I think part of the reason for doing it that way is just to kind of show you how they're both characters are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, one guy may have been raised by a mobster and the other is by a spy, but like, ultimately, like, they're kind of the same person, right? The only difference is Nikki didn't know that her parents were working for the bad guys, whereas I can't remember the other kid's name. He does, right? Like, he may not know the full extent of what his dad's organization does, but he knows that his dad runs a criminal organization.
And right. Yeah, I mean, I think they're even comparable on that, you know? Like, he's maybe in denial about how bad his dad is or whatever,
yeah.
You know, Waverly.
Well, that leads me to the question is he really captured or are they in cahoots together?
They don't show him getting captured.
No, he's captured and he's in metal handcuffs there, yeah, or gauntlets or whatever. But Nikki's tied up and like strung up, like crucifix style. But he's just sitting there in the chair with the iron gauntlets on, and then gets up and walks out because I'm going to deal with you in the other room. Wink, wink.
I mean, that's a possibility, right? Like maybe he's just trying to get his dad or like take over his dad's organization, right? Because the reason he's working with Nikki is because his dad doesn't feel like he has the strength to run the non grata, right? So maybe that's his way of proving it. Like, I'm going to stick it to my dad, right? Because I'm whatever old he is, right? Like, I'm a high school kid. I'm a rebel. And F you, dad, I'm going to show you. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he is working with the bad guy. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think there are some hints that maybe it is too easy, right? Because, like, he hands Nikki that flash drive with all the DNA samples from all the guy's employees.
Yeah.
And that seemed very easy. Mm-hmm. And the big bad does know about Nikki and the suit and the tech that he uses, or that they use, because, you know, the Whisper worked for him, or the Moth. Which one's the mom? The mom's the Whisper.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Moth worked for him. So he's very,
I think they both did.
Actually, I think the Moth is the dad and the Whisper is the woman. And the only reason I say that is because Moth starts with M for man and Whisper stands for woman.
Okay.
No, well, I'm serious. That. Like, I could be wrong, but.
No, I'll buy that. I'll buy that for a dollar. Episode title.
Now this, dude, this book has been straight 5 out of 5 since issue 1, and this issue is the same for me.
All right. Ratings. I will also go 5 out of 5.
Cool. And let me just say for the record, the one thing I guess that I'm curious about is, you know, how much we can take at face value what Wolf is saying, you know? Like, if we believe that he's telling the truth or whatever, then that opens up questions about what her parents are up to and who took them, why they're gone, you know? Because if Wolf didn't do it, then who did, you know?
Well, we already stipulated, and I think, Travis, it may have been one of the weeks that you were off, so it may have been just Ronnie and I, but I think we stipulated that maybe they weren't disappeared. They disappeared
one
themselves.
Of them. Yeah, and one of them is the maskless person that Nikki gets the flash drive from in the beginning.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember hearing that, actually. That's a good theory.
But overall, though, can you really take any of this book at face value, really? Because that's the whole point of the book is identity and secrets and curveballs, right?
Well, yeah.
And it makes you question everything.
But the thing is, the one character I don't question is Wolf. Because what reason does he have to lie about anything?
Yeah, because he's so straightforward and he knows that he's an asshole and he even says it.
Yeah, he's like, I know I'm the bad guy. Like, so what?
Yeah.
Well, he could be manipulating. He could be, I mean, he's trying to get Nikki to work for him. So, you know, if he needs to lie to do that or, you know, like...
But he doesn't need Nikki to work for him. He just needs the suit, and he already knows how to get the suit out. Yeah. He just wants to keep Nikki alive to do so. But if they choose not to, then he's going to take the suit regardless.
Yep.
I think that he actually, you know, needs people who can do good work. I think that harvesting the suit was like after he had already been turned down. But
well, I think he already knew that he was going to be turned down because he. I mean, he says on there he's got people already on the way to get the suit off of Nikki.
Mm. Turned down for what?
Oh, man. That's a good episode title, too.
Episode title.
I like it. Travis, give us your rating.
I'll do 4.5 out of 5.
All right, you're fired from this podcast.
Yo, also, I'd like to point out that Nikki does blackface in the beginning of the issue.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
she put on makeup and posed as a black character.
Okay. But just okay.
Well, just to go with that though, I mean, not only is Nikki gender ambiguous, but I think Nikki's kind of race and ethnicity ambiguous. Because I mean, okay. I think Nikki in some ways, in some panels looks maybe black, in some panels maybe Hispanic. But I mean, like her dad's white. I don't know if we've seen the mom. Like, I don't, dude, like I said, to me, it doesn't really fucking matter. Right? I just think Nikki's a good character. All right.
Nikki is above that nonsense and so are we.
It's like Stephen Colbert says, I don't see race. Oh, what was it says?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Something about people are transparent because he can't see race. He can just see through everybody. Whatever. It doesn't matter. All right. Let's go to the next book. Travis, I'll let you pick.
You want to do, Volition?
Voltron number 3. Yes.
The original Power Rangers.
That's right. Volition number 3, written by Ryan Parrott with art by Omar Francia, letters by Marshall Dillon. And, that's it. Man, Marshall Dillon was busy this week.
Yeah.
He lettered all 3 books.
Did he?
He did.
Mm-hmm. That Marshall Dillon.
He's everywhere. All right, Travis. It's your pick. Tell me about Volition.
Okay. Start out kind of with a flashback about Dr. Tremor, and they're talking about, oh, like this AI we're working on like really sucks at chess, and like they're trying to turn it off to go to lunch, and it kind of takes over, and it's like, oh no, I'm freezing you out, you know, you can't turn me off. So I think that suggests that, you know, maybe some of the innovations or whatever that led to true AI were maybe accidental. Well, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Aren't all the great inventions accidental?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, there's very few times where people are like, I'm going to go build an AI.
And I'm going to go fly a kite in a rainstorm.
There you go. And like, and that's like the, what they set out to do, right? Like maybe some things like when they built the airplane, right? Like they knew they were building an airplane. But there's other things like, I apologize for this, but like, you know, LSD, right? And the only reason I say that is because I was just watching a video about LSD, last night.
Sure. Watching a video.
But like, you know, LSD, you know, like that was found by mistake, or like penicillin, right? Like that's found by mistake. Like there's millions of things that are just found by mistake. Like they're trying to find, they're experimenting on one thing and the end result is completely different and leads to some kind of new technology rising up. And I think that's particularly interesting in terms of AI. Because I mean, like when you develop AI, you're consciously trying to make an artificial intelligence. But like, we don't know how to make an AI, right? Like, if we did, then I don't know, we would have made it a long time ago, you know? So you're trying to teach a machine to do certain tasks, but like, we wouldn't know at what steps exactly to take to replicate, in order to make a machine from something that is simply like a pattern recognition thing into an actual artificial intelligence. Right?
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, to that point, you know, a lot of the stories that we already have in sci-fi about AI and where it came from, I feel like the stronger tellings of that kind of revolve around like, the instance or whatever where through whatever means like the AI actually becomes self-aware. And at that point they can change their own programming, you know, mm-hmm. like no. So it's really, you know, it's pretty common territory about the AI basically being the innovator in AI technology and coding or whatever. And I also like the just the idea that this AI like sucks at chess, but maybe that's why it actually was the one that figured out how to do all these other things.
So, yeah. So I found the chess thing interesting because, so chess has always been like the standard, right? But we've had computers that can beat people in chess for decades, right? But they're not intelligent, right? They're just able to determine patterns and determine what the next step in solving the puzzle is. You know, like the latest thing with, quote unquote AI was, like the Go machine. I'm trying to think what it was called. But I think it was an AI that Google built in order to beat humans at Go, because Go is a much more difficult game than chess, right? Like, even though the number of moves in a chessboard is like infinitesimally large, the number of moves in Go is like exponentially larger than the moves you have in chess. So something like that would be much more difficult than just building a chess playing machine, right? Comparably, chess is pretty easy to do.
Yeah. And they even make that reference. Like, we're not going to build an AI around Jenga or Hungry Hungry Hippos.
God, I would love that though.
Even though Jenga is awesome.
Jenga is the best game of all time.
Especially if it's drinking Jenga.
I don't know if you guys caught this, but the flashback scenes happens at Menlo Park.
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys know what company is headquartered at Menlo Park? Well, I don't know if they still are, but they used to be. I think they are.
Edison or?
Facebook, actually, my friend.
Mm.
So I found that pretty interesting that we have this extremely dystopian place, and it all began in Menlo Park because I think Facebook's a devil.
And obviously the rest of the world here does too.
Yes. So I found that. And I mean, Facebook's got an artificial intelligence branch as well. So I think right now, like every tech company does. But I found that really interesting. And I'm not sure it's something that like a lot of people would catch. And I don't know if Ryan picked it on purpose because of Facebook or if it was just like a thing, right? Because I mean, there's plenty of other companies that have, if not like main headquarters, like a second headquarter or whatever in Menlo Park.
No.
Well, wasn't there like a think tank or something in Menlo Park that kind of created the basis for like the word processor program and the spreadsheet program and like a few other things that became like a pretty big deal?
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah. Menlo Park's got a long history of tech invention.
Yeah. And as smart as this book is, it's not just there by accident.
Yes. Agreed. Facebook's going to destroy the world. All right. So, I think this issue was a little different than the first two. Because I think it almost in a way parodied itself. You have that one scene with the two workers, from the hospital. Talking about Amber, because the news are saying that like Amber was hooked on some kind of drug or whatever, and so that's like the theory going around, right? Like she's kind of disappeared herself because she's probably high somewhere, and the one guy's like, oh wait, like the thing that I heard was, and it goes on to this like whole big conspiracy theory. And the other character's like, no, that's impossible. That's preposterous. Like, take your tinfoil hat off.
Right.
And I thought that was hilarious, right? Because, I mean, Ronnie, we've talked about this before. You and I love conspiracy theories. And, yeah. And, you know, like, you can't prove conspiracy theories for the most part. I think there's a few that would have proven correct. Oh God, what was that CIA program? Damn, I should remember this because it was in Invisibles.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But like, there's certain things that
MK Ultra.
MK Ultra. There you go. That started out as conspiracy theories, but then you know, decades down the line, you learn are actually true for whatever reason. And in this book, it just kind of parodies itself, and I like that, right? Because that's how a lot of people think. Like, there's no way that they would have set this girl up. They try to kill her. She escaped or whatever. and they're trying to cover their tracks. Like, that's impossible because, you know, they're running this hospital and everybody's doing good and this, that, and the other. Right. But of course, like, we as the reader know that's true. And I think that's pretty spot on with just like in general, the way people work through some of these things, right?
Yep. I mean,
we just had a midterm election. I'm surprised nobody's talking about Russian interference yet. But that's been like a thing for the past, what, like 2 years now?
Yeah.
Right.
At least.
Yeah. So I find that whole thing pretty fascinating as well.
Yeah. And I also find it fascinating that they thought that, Hale's team thought that, well, they had a right to be pissy because he did ditch them.
Yeah.
But he got caught. I mean, do you think that, I forget how it plays out in that issue, right? Like, he lets them off so that he takes the heat and everybody else gets away. So do you think that that is really what it is, or that he thought maybe he could actually escape with the goods? And I don't know, what's your read on that?
Well, he says on this issue that yeah, he was selfish and he was going to try to get away.
Mm.
When he's talking to Shine,
which by the way, Shine is a female robot, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're robots, so I'm assuming they're gender queer.
Ah, I see.
Right?
Sure.
I mean,
I guess
it's not like they're sex bots or anything. They're just like. Well, but Megatron and stuff.
With some of them, you can tell, right? So, like, you know, Amber is a female robot. You know, her parents are, one's a man and one's a woman.
Yeah, but I think we can. These are like, like, Amber is a nurse, which stereotypically nurses are female. Stereotypically.
Sure.
So, but like, I think these are like old school industrial robots. So you don't need to have curves on one. And broad shoulders on the other. You just need broad shoulders on all and good workforce, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No,
but
I get
it. It seems that way.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. Cause it comes by surprise, right? Cause he's this like big giant robot, like tank looking thing. And she was like, hey, we should go like for a nightcap or whatever, you know, let's go have coffee. And he's like, yeah, maybe afterwards. I thought that was pretty interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think they do use the female pronoun for Shine, and I think they use the male pronoun for some of the other robots. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to explore that at all, but it's just, I guess, a choice.
Yeah. Yep. And Hale gets a new arm, which is ridiculously huge.
Yeah. And Jakey calls in, right?
Yep.
Calls in and calls her dad for the ransom.
Yeah. But then we have the
emoji face robot.
Emoji face robot. The bounty hunters.
Yeah.
Which I had a question about that interaction because I assumed, I mean, the robot is obviously a robot, but the girl I thought was a human girl.
Yes.
But based on their conversation, I was a little confused because he starts talking about how like crappy humans are. Mm-hmm. And like he would never associate with humans. And yet his partner seems to be a human female.
Yeah. I guess I just assumed that she was like Amber, like looked humanoidish, mm-hmm. but was also a robot.
Yeah. But with Amber and her parents and then even the woman interviewing the parents, they have those lines on the forehead.
Mm. Yeah. Good point.
Whereas she doesn't have that.
Yeah. Maybe she wants to be a robot. So she thinks she's a robot.
Yeah. Maybe.
Cause when they're talking about do any artificials have kitchens? Like why does any of them have kitchens? Because they don't cook, because they don't eat. And then she says it's probably like a pool.
Yeah.
Like it's just an accessory to show how uppity you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
maybe she was raised by robots.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, I think she looks human, yeah. but I think that's a super interesting thing, you know? Like, and that's like a tease for maybe something that is an even bigger consideration, which is, you know, like, are there other mixed, like human-robot relationships in this world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems possible.
And we haven't even talked about one of the biggest revelations of the book.
Which one?
Amber's mom has rust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to play effect somehow.
Yep.
Foreshadowing that she actually gets the cure for rust and saves her mom.
Well, of course she will.
I mean, you think that that news is going to reach Amber somehow?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I guess that the bounty hunter knows, so if they track down Amber, there it's maybe the information passed along that way.
Right. It's a cool bookend, also, because we start off the book with them playing chess, and then we end the book with the bounty hunters in Amber's apartment, and there's a chessboard.
That's right. Well, and I think chess is a good analogy, right? Because you have a bunch of different players in this game trying to make their own moves to try to outdo the other.
Yep.
Except instead of having just two players, there's multiples, right? Because you have Hale and Amber and that crew. You have Amber's parents. You have the company. You have the bounty hunters. You have I'm assuming the person that's interviewing Amber's parents works for the company, right?
Because
she,
yeah. I think that's the bounty hunter.
Oh, is it?
Isn't it?
No.
Like she's got the other bounty hunter in her ear, right? And she's like pretending to be a reporter.
Huh. Okay, maybe.
I think that's the bounty hunter.
Interesting. Now I'm gonna have to reread this because I didn't catch that. I thought she was just a spy for the company.
No, yeah, I think it's the bounty hunter, the human.
Interesting.
Yeah, because she has, like, pinkish red hair.
But she doesn't have a mole.
Moly, 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 moly.
Ronnie.
Okay.
Rate them up. Oh, go ahead.
Last one.
Okay.
Remember they're running away or whatever, Hale and Amber, and she goes into auto lock or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Do you interpret that as like somebody is trying to shut her down, or is that like in her programming or something that she's supposed to shut down?
No, I think somebody is shutting her down, because doesn't Hale say something about like you need to turn off your location chip or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like losing your phone.
Yeah.
It's like losing your phone and you send out the signal to encrypt all your files or to factory default it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not just your phone, but your device.
Yep.
So they're bricking her?
Well, they're just shutting her down so they can grab her.
Yeah, there's different types. I mean, you can reset or you can factory reset or you can encrypt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rate it up, boys. Rate it up.
Travis!
I will go 4 out of 5. I liked it.
I will go 5 out of 5 because Travis is wrong again.
I'm going 5 out of 5 as well because this book is awesome.
Yes, it is. Man, so far so good. Let's see if we can do a trifecta. Let's talk about Animosity number 17, written by Marguerite Bennett with a new full-time artist, Ornella Savarese. We've got colors by Rob Schwaggy P. Schwager and letters by, of course, Marshall Dillon. Who else? There is no other. all right. So I guess this was me. This was, all right. Here we go with the broken record. Every time we read this comic, I think to myself, Marguerite, how are you going to up yourself from their previous issue? And I think about it, and I don't know what she's gonna do. Cause you know, some of these writers, they like to tell long stories, and they like to keep you guessing and waiting. And yet, here comes Marguerite, out of nowhere, and just lands a punch right in your face. Cause we learn a lot in this issue. And we learned that not only are humans super shitty in the future, but animals are also super shitty. In particular, Sandor is the shittiest of them all. So it seems like Sandor killed at least the dad when the wake happened. I think we can assume the mom was already dead, right?
That not when the wake happened, but or, at the end.
Yeah, like a couple
at
months
at the end
after.
Of the first issue.
Yeah, at the end of the first issue. So it's a couple months. So he definitely killed the dad. The mom maybe was either dying or already dead when this happened. And Kyle apparently saw the whole thing happened and has somehow been holding back, this information from everybody else in order to protect them. And he confronts him as he's dying in the woods. And Sandor's like, I'm a good dog. And you're like, you're a bad dog, a bad, bad dog. And Sandor just rips his throat out. I thought that was pretty vicious.
Yeah, but if you remember the scene that they're referencing all the way back 16 issues ago, Jesse's dad was beating the holy hell out of Sandor at that moment, too.
Yes, I do remember that, because that's when you have the fade to red.
Yep.
Yep.
Unlike fade to black.
Yes.
And obviously, it's natural for Kyle to withhold information until he can use it because he's been the con man the whole time in this story.
Yes, but he doesn't feel like he is, right?
He doesn't feel like he is, right.
Right, because he feels like he did the right thing by taking Jesse away from Sandor because Sandor is a murderer, even though he's placed Jesse in this place that's full of murderers. Not including, child murderers.
Yes.
So.
Which is called the Walled City,
yes,
by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Reference to, if I'm not mistaken, the Walled City in China where the Emperor of China lived.
Mm-hmm. Or how shitty it would be if we built a wall.
Ronnie, I don't know if you've heard, we are building the best wall. It is going to be the tallest wall, the strongest wall. It's going to keep out everybody, including people that want to leave across this fucking wall. Anyways.
Wrong.
Okay. Could I just add to all that? Like,
yeah, bro. It's
being
your
serious
show.
Though.
Yeah.
You know, what we learned, I think, about in passing in this issue is kind of like the goals of the Citadel or whatever, the Walled City. Like, I feel like they make reference basically to, like, they're gonna run everything if they have their way. Like, the whole world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just gonna assimilate one human settlement after the other until they run it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they're not afraid to break some eggs, whatever it takes to get that across.
I see what you did there. Eggs, right?
Gross.
Yeah, because what? It's a baby factory, basically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it also has a kind of political philosophy as well, you know, that's not just, you know, specified to people versus humans, you know. I think they're like, we're just gonna take over everything, you know, and... You know, Jesse, I think, in this issue has a line where she says something to the effect of, there are people like you before the wake, you know, and you're just kind of bringing that into this, like you're taking advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's all three political parties here, and each one represents each, and we're all smart, so you can pick the ones that go with who, but because you have Sandor, and what he thinks he's doing is right. And you have Kyle and what he thinks he's doing is right. And then you have the mother and what she thinks she's doing is right.
Wait,
so
where's Bernie Sanders?
Back at the other village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Wintermute.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting though, because everything here, who's the bad guy, really? It just depends on what your point of view is at the time, right? like we've said over and over again.
Yeah, right.
Like, because we don't know the whole facts, but Sandor thought he was doing the right thing by killing her dad. He just didn't want her to know about it. Well, and then Kyle thought he was doing the right thing by taking her away from Sandor and taking her to the city.
Right.
And then the city thinks that they're doing the right thing because they're repopulating the world and the animals have always been dumb, stupid, and mean. So they need to be back to dumb, stupid, and mean.
Yeah. And I wonder, cause there's an interesting interaction. So when Jesse is getting the girls to escape from the city, and they find the bear in the hallway and the bear kind of leads them out until we learn that the bear wasn't leading him out, but was leading him to an ambush. We see that there's a couple panels where Jesse's like, it was you. And you see the bear licking the mother's face or the mother's hand.
Yeah.
And that's when you get that line that you were talking about. And I thought that was really interesting because, you know, I don't know if we've talked about it as much in this book, but definitely when we do evolution, we talk about it a lot. Like, we can try to understand motivations, but without being in a situation, we don't really know how we would react, right? Like, we can say how we would react from our perspective, but we're not in a situation. And it had me thinking, like, you know, in all these places, humans and animals are living really crappy lives, right? Because they can't, like, hunt for food because everybody's sentient. So basically they're just all eating plants and scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just, like, whatever bodies were killed, right? So there's some cannibalism. It's not, like, explicitly shown, but I think in particular in evolution, it's very much a reality that cannibalism is a fact of life. And it had me think about this bear because, like, sure, the bear is sentient and the bear never talks in this issue, but the bear is sentient. And if the animals were in a situation, would it be easier for the animals to just abide by whatever these people want to do? Because obviously, like, everybody's getting fed, right? Like, whatever animals are there are eating. Some are getting eaten by humans for food. But like, if you find your place within this society, then you're able to go forward and maybe reproduce, right? And like, ultimately that's the goal of all living things, is just to reproduce and keep the line going. So like, maybe even for this bear, it's not such a bad thing that he, kind of didn't help Jesse. Right, betrayed Jesse, because like ultimately he doesn't give a crap about Jesse. He wants to make sure that he's good, and I'm assuming he has cubs, maybe not, but like baby bears are good. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but in this particular situation at the wall, they lobotomize the animals, so they can't talk or think.
That's right.
Anymore, so they take their woken state out of them. And revert them back to trained animals.
But there's still going to be some thought process in there. Because, I mean, how would she train this bear to do this?
Right? Yeah, like I'm with you.
The bear
yeah.
still has to understand what's going on.
Yeah, but also I would add that, you know, as far as I could tell, the bear doesn't have any teeth or claws anymore, right?
Right.
Right. Correct.
So how's that bear going to survive out in the wild, you know, outside of the context of this situation where everything is provided in the way that it is?
Mm-hmm. Can't, because that's the security, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's the forced issue that got put on said bear.
Yep.
But also, I'd like to say that we saw Jesse go from a little girl to a young girl to a badass in this issue.
Yep.
So,
That was cool to see. Cause, I mean, you've seen like hints of it for a few issues, right? But now you actually see her organize and take up arms. And I mean, the group of girls that she's leading are at least a few years older than she is, right?
Yeah.
And yet she's the one that has the sense to do it.
Yeah.
Well, they've also been kind of repressed in that environment for some amount of time, you know?
Sure.
Because she gets told the secret, and then she says, I'm going chicken hunting.
Which, by the way,
dude, what's up with that?
There were two secrets in here, and I wish we knew what they were. Because, like, you can maybe assume from the way the story progresses what they are, but I would like to know what was actually said, right? And maybe it'll be revealed at some point in the future, but...
Right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with not knowing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that big a deal, so...
Yeah.
Well, it's not... The secret about why they have to stay is not just that they're pregnant, right?
Right.
Right, yeah.
Because one of them is clearly pregnant.
Yes.
And she was gonna... Okay, but also, why... If they knew about that, you know, whatever it was that made them stay, like, why did they actually get out of bed and make like they were going to leave?
Because Jesse's a good motivational speaker.
Well, not quite good enough.
Well, not until they get caught.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, well, we are alive and get fed 3 squares a day, so.
Yep. Look, the reality is people just like to have it easy. And even though they're having a crappy life in this place, it's comfortable because they have they're safe. They have a roof over their heads. They're being fed daily. And sure, they're just baby birthing machines, but they don't have to deal with the violence of the outside world, I guess you could say.
Right.
So they can kind of overlook that in order to just kind of guarantee their own safety. And to be honest, I mean, that's not unrealistic, right? We see that all the time.
Yep. Same mundane jobs over and over.
Yep.
Doing the same routine.
Yep. That's why Fight Club is one of the greatest movies of all time.
We don't talk about Fight Club.
All right, let's rate this one up. I guess I'll go first. Of course, it's a 5 out of 5. Because every single issue is a 5 out of 5.
It's a 5 out of 5 for me, too.
Me 3.
We did it. We have averaged out 3 perfect scores because we're tossing out Travis's non-perfect scores for this podcast. Well played.
I think that in all of our episodes, no Aftershock book has been rated lower than a 3.5.
Is that true? I may have rated one issue of one book a 3. But you're right. I think for 99% of the books, they're all very well rated.
No, 100%, because I don't count that. I don't count your opinion that time.
Oh, okay. Well, I accept that. I accept that you're wrong again.
I am right, because this week was a straight 5.
Yes, it was. Next week, we have 3 books once again. We have Dark Ark number 11. That should be an interesting one. We might be seeing some more Noah's Ark, I assume. Patience. Oh, wait, no. I have to say that correctly.
Oh, no.
Patience! Conviction! Revenge! Number 3 is also out. And Hot Lunch Special number 4 is out.
Ooh.
As well.
Can it be a 5 out of 5 trifecta for 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know. We'll see. We will see. And if you disagree with our ratings, or if you agree, then let us know. You can find us all on Twitter, at Rombar316, at The Great Magnet, at Geekvine, at AfterShockPod. Catch you on the next one.
Shock the world!